A violent ringing of the bell awakened the concierge of number 9 Avenue Osh. She pulled the door string, grumbling,
"I thought everybody was in. Must be 3 o'clock.
"Perhaps it is someone for the doctor," muttered her husband.
"Third floor, left. But the doctor won't go out at night."
"He must go tonight."
The visitor entered the vestibule, ascended to the first floor, the second, the third, and, without stopping at the doctor's door, he continued to the fifth floor. There he tried 2 keys. One of them fitted the lock.
"Ah, good," he murmured. "That simplifies the business wonderfully. But before I commence work, I had better arrange for my retreat. Let me see. Have I had sufficient time to rouse the doctor and be dismissed by him?" "Not yet. A few minutes more."
At the end of 10 minutes, he descended the stairs, grumbling noisily about the doctor. The concierge opened the door for him and heard it click behind him. But the door did not lock, as the man had quickly inserted a piece of iron in the lock in such a manner that the bolt could not enter. Then, quietly, he entered the house again, unknown to the concierge. In case of alarm, his retreat was assured. Noiselessly, he ascended to the fifth floor once more. In the antechamber, by the light of his electric lantern, he placed his hat and overcoat on one of the chairs, took a seat on another, and covered his heavy shoes with felt slippers.
"Oof, here I am. And how simple it was. I wonder why more people do not adopt the profitable and pleasant occupation of burglar. With a little care and reflection, it becomes a most delightful profession. Not too quiet and monotonous, of course, as it would then become wearisome." He unfolded a detailed plan of the apartment.
"Let me commence by locating myself. Here I see the vestibule in which I am sitting. On the street front, the drawing room, the boudoir, and dining room. Useless to waste any time there, as it appears the Countess has deplorable taste. Not a bibelot of any value. Now, let's get down to business. Ah, here is a corridor. It must lead to the bedchamber. At a distance of 3 meters, I should come to the door of the wardrobe closet, which connects with the chamber of the Countess." He folded his plan, extinguished his lantern, and proceeded down the corridor, counting his distance thus. 1 meter? 2 meters? 3 meters? Here is the door. Mon Dieu, how easy it is! Only a small, simple bolt now separates me from the chamber, and I know that the bolt is located exactly 1 meter, 43 centimeters from the floor. So, thanks to a small incision I am about to make, I can soon get rid of the bolt. He drew from his pocket the necessary instruments. Then the following idea occurred to him. Suppose by chance the door is not bolted. I will try it first. He turned the knob, and the door opened. My brave Lupin, surely fortune favors you. What's to be done now? You know the situation of the rooms. You know the place in which the Countess hides the Black Pearl. Therefore, in order to secure the Black Pearl, you have simply to be more silent than silence, more invisible than darkness itself. Arsène Lupin was employed fully a half hour in opening the second door, a glass door that led to the Countess's bedchamber. But he accomplished it with so much skill and precaution that even had the Countess been awake, she would not have heard the slightest sound. According to the plan of the rooms that he holds, he has merely to pass around a reclining chair and, beyond that, a small table close to the bed. On the table, there was a box of letter paper, and the Black Pearl was concealed in that box. He stooped and crept cautiously over the carpet, following the outlines of the reclining chair. When he reached the extremity of it, he stopped in order to repress the throbbing of his heart. Although he was not moved by any sense of fear, he found it impossible to overcome the nervous anxiety that one usually feels in the midst of profound silence. That circumstance astonished him, because he had passed through many more solemn moments without the slightest trace of emotion. No danger threatened him. Then why did his heart throb like an alarm bell? Was it that sleeping woman who affected him? Was it the proximity of another pulsating heart? He listened and thought he could discern the rhythmical breathing of a person asleep. It gave him confidence, like the presence of a friend. He sought and found the armchair, then, by slow, cautious movements, advanced toward the table, feeling ahead of him with outstretched arms.